The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Wet and windy it is as we come to you from the University of Galway. And as I drove over here, didn't have a bike with me to cycle. But even if I had, I would have looked out this morning and say, this is not weather for the bike. Also, as I drove over here, I found it increasingly difficult to see pedestrians because it was murky, it was dark, it was wet, it was congested. So if anyone was trying to convert me towards the initiative to improve traffic passage in Galway, they got me this morning. They got me big time. We're going to talk a bit about this, and we have with us Gráinne Fallar, who spearheaded a demonstration for road safety, which takes place every Sunday. It's hashtag Sundays for Safety, and they hope to achieve safer streets for all road users, especially those who are most vulnerable, the pedestrians, the cyclists, the children. We're also joined by Dave Corley, who is going to talk about how he mapped the barriers to passage in the city and how it might impact on various cohorts of users. But good morning, Gráinne, first of all, and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Now, tell me about your initiative, hashtag Sundays for Safety. When did it start and why?
Well, Sundays for Safety, it was the trigger for it, I guess, was an accident on the 8th of August where a doctor, a local doctor, a GP, Ciara Curran, was cycling on her way into town near my house, actually. I live in Salt Hill. And she was cycling along a particularly hazardous stretch when somebody opened a car door and knocked her off her bike and threw her into traffic. She was thankfully not seriously hurt, but she could have been, and she could have been killed. And when I heard what happened, it essentially spurred me into action because I had been on a very angry, sort of simmering for quite a while. I have two children. One is 9, the other is 12. They're very, very naturally pushing for a little bit of independence. You know, Mum, can I go to the shop? Sure. Can we go to the park on our own? Can I cycle down to collect Conkers, is what I was asked yesterday. And I feel an unreasonable level, I feel, of anxiety about them doing those very, very normal things themselves. Because I see how people drive around my residential area. I see the roads that are wide, the junctions that are wide, that enable people to swing around a corner without due care. And I am just very, very afraid that someday one of my children will be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And with Ciara, I guess she's a doctor, she's a mum of four. I thought when her accident happened that there would be any reaction, some reaction, something where somebody would say, do you know what? That stretch of road is really dangerous. Maybe we should do something about the people who are illegally parking on that road to get their coffee. Maybe we should do something about the road design that is making that really treacherous. But there was nothing. Nobody said anything. So I felt that as a very busy Mum, I have my own business. I don't have time for this, but I couldn't in good conscience sit back and just wait for the next accident and wait for someone to be killed. So
now, that kind of accident that happened to Ciara, it could happen to anybody because cyclists are coming along in where they should be, cycling normally, and then a motorist does not look in the mirror, the side mirror, just thoughtlessly opens the door. I mean, it happens to motorcyclists as well.
Yep.
And I find whether I'm riding a bicycle or driving my motorbike, that I have a different level of vigilance when I'm exposed.
Yep.
You know, and I'm conscious of every driveway that someone might just plow out of the driveway. I'm conscious of every car that might swing open its door. But the same is not true when I'm cocooned in my motor car.
No, that's very true. So I decided to print out leaflets on my computer. And I went down the road because I live close by and I started handing out leaflets to drivers to say, look, just be aware. Because what was happening is the area we're talking about, there are a couple of coffee shops on a corner. It's a corner. There are double yellow lines. There is also a pedestrian crossing. It is triply illegal to park there, and there is free parking across the road. People were still pulling in for their coffee.
It's only for a minute.
But the problem is only for a minute was continuous. And I've been living in Galway. I grew up here, but I was away and we settled in Bray and we came back 6 years ago. And for that 6 years, there was a continuous issue of road visibility with people illegally parking on that stretch. So I went down with my leaflets and then I got really, really angry at the continued silence. So I decided that Sunday that maybe we should do a bit of direct action. So I put a little call out and a bunch of us went down and I thought it was kind of artistic to stand on the double yellow lines to blow bubbles, to hold a few signs, to buy coffee, give custom to the coffee shops, but to prevent the people from parking on those double yellow lines.
Did you get abuse?
No, one person on the first week, one person actually tried to park where we were standing, which really tells you something about the car culture in Galway. But actually, no, the businesses weren't terribly happy with us, but actually the reaction from everybody else was so, so positive. And since then, that corner is much improved. But the thing is, it shouldn't take that. It was illegal in the first place.
Are you doing it every Sunday, by the way?
We're doing it every good Sunday. We're changing it around, though, because we did that, and that situation is kind of resolved. So we're keeping an eye on it. We will be back if people keep parking there. But for now, we're leaving it. We also ran a couple of pop-up pedestrian crossings at places where there should be pedestrian crossings. These are obvious places along the prom, a walking amenity, and we don't have pedestrian crossings at various
Have you noticed,
spots.
By the way, that they're beginning to bring back the old flashing orange Belisha beacon, certainly in parts of Dublin, whereas, you know, what has happened in the last couple of decades is they have traffic lights. Now, traffic lights are fine, but they're utterly irritating, because what happens, a pedestrian typically will come to the crossing, press the button, and if there's no cars coming, rush across the road, breaking the pedestrian light, you know, and then the light turns red for the motorist.
I know.
There's no one using the crossing. Whereas the old pedestrian crossing with the flashing orange Belisha beacon, the rule was, and it's still the rule in continental Europe, if a pedestrian steps out on one of those crossings, cars must stop.
Yes, you wouldn't trust them to stop and go away, but because it's just one of those things. I think that one thing that we're going to focus on in the next few weeks is a 30-kilometer speed limit in the urban area of Galway. Because actually, if you had that, then those kind of pedestrian crossings, I think, would work quite well.
Yeah.
The other thing that we did last week is we went down to the kissing gates, because a huge part of safe, comfortable streets for people who wheel, walk and cycle is accessibility.
What are kissing gates?
So kissing gates are barriers, basically, that it's difficult to explain, but essentially you go to the barrier, you have to open a gate, walk around the gate, close the gate and go through. Yeah. And essentially,
it's like there's an upright U, and then the other part of it is a kind of a solid bit that swings back and forth.
Exactly, beautifully explained. And basically, those gates, they're fine for able-bodied people. They're a bit inconvenient and annoying. But if you are in any way compromised from a mobility point of view, even if you're riding a bicycle, they're extremely difficult to get through, and sometimes they block people out altogether.
All right, now, good ideas there, and let's hope they have some impact. You have to wait, of course, for City Council to suddenly get on board and get with the programme, as it were. And they have all sorts of pressures on them from ratepayers and the like, and also the road space that's available. But we'll come back to that in a moment. Dave Corley, you mapped the obstacle race that is Galway City. Explain.
Yes. So as Gráinne mentioned, the kissing gates was kind of where the map started off. Basically, I just started looking at Google Maps, Google Street View, and just started plotting all of these onto a map. And initially, I thought, okay, I'm going to find maybe 5, 10. There was maybe a dozen or so that I could think of around the city. And I went past 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. It's now up to 70 kissing gates all around the city. They're on footpaths, they're in parks.
What are the reasons for the kissing gates? Because I know that, for example, along the canals in Dublin, they put some kissing gates there to stop people, you know, ne'er-do-wells, bringing scrambler bikes onto the towpaths of the canals. You know, so there are kind of reasons for it. And cyclists generally can get off their bikes and, if necessary, just lift their bike over. But you won't lift a scrambler bike over. It's too heavy.
Well,
you know, that's part of the reason. I'm just explaining why I have seen them in certain locations. But why are they so prevalent in Galway?
Well, they're put in place for exactly that sort of reason. Well, that's the justification that the council gives. However, if it's a case that your solution for antisocial behaviour disadvantages those with mobility issues, wheelchair users, elderly, families with prams, buggies.
Yeah, how do you get a buggy through a kissing gate?
A lot of times you don't.
You don't.
You don't.
You just don't.
You simply
that
can't.
Way.
And for the likes of people with trikes or cargo bikes, trailers on bikes or wheelchair users, depending on the type of wheelchair, a lot of the times these kissing gates completely exclude them from access in these areas.
And Pat, we have very, very few cycle paths in Galway. But the ones that we do have that are away from the road are bookended by kissing gates. You couldn't make it up. It's actually quite ludicrous.
What, they have cycle lanes with kissing gates?
Yes. Yes, my okay. parents are really fit, able people in their 70s. They ride e-bikes and they can't use these facilities because they can't get the bikes through.
And the electric bike would be a bit heavier with
That's
the battery
it.
And so
yeah.
it's more difficult to lift over mm-hmm. the kissing gate. The fundamental problem, of course, is that Galway is an old city. The road space was designed for an earlier time. So something more radical has to be done. Now, one option is that you do a lot more with public transport. And if necessary, you have to have some sort of park and ride facilities on the outskirts. Land is valuable in Galway. Where do you put them? Where do you find that land? And can you make space for pedestrians, cyclists and buses and exclude everybody else? The man in the white van who's coming to fix the fridge in a shop, for example, he has got to get in to do that job.
What you need to do is you need to sort out your levels of priority. First has to be accessibility. I don't understand why accessibility is seen as an issue for disabled people to fight for. Accessibility is something that affects us all because at some point each of us will encounter a situation where we are more limited in our mobility. We need to cater for people at the most vulnerable of our pedestrians and wheelers and those people first. Then we need to cater for pedestrians, the able-bodied people who are walking around. We need to then cater for bikes. We need to then look at public transport, the people who absolutely need to drive. For example, of course, a car is sometimes absolutely necessary for certain people with disabilities, for people who are going about their business, the white van man or whatever. We need to cater for those people who absolutely must. At the very, very bottom of that scale should be the private car. Most private car journeys are less than 2 kilometres and they're taken by, you know, able-bodied people who could feasibly choose another option if it was safe and available to them. And that's the thing. At the moment, unfortunately, the situation is entirely flipped in Galway. The catering is entirely for the private car. The decisions being made are traffic flow related. If they made safety a priority, then, for example, in Galway, if you press your pedestrian crossing button, you would get more than 5 seconds of a green man. That's what you get in Galway.
Five seconds.
For many of those pedestrian crossings, you get 5 seconds of a green man, and then it switches to amber. Now, can you imagine?
That'd be half a minute in Dublin.
Oh, stop. It's so ludicrous. And I've seen people on crutches stranded in the middle of a road on a traffic island. And then there's possibly a nice car will allow them finish their crossing, but the green man has turned and that's it. So we need to start making decisions that prioritise safety, accessibility and comfort for people outside of cars, because at the moment it's not even factoring in the decision-making process.
It's great. You are explaining what you want.
Yes.
How you get there. Dave, do you have any ideas? How do you get there? Because Galway, like many towns and cities around the country, is utterly car dependent because of where people live. They don't necessarily live on a bus route. You can't have a bus corridor down every boreen. It's just not going to happen. So how do you get to where you want to get, which is safe accessibility for all pedestrians, cyclists, and those who need to go about their business in an automobile? How do you get there from where we are now?
Well, I disagree that it's not possible. It just requires different choices to be made, like different decisions, the courage to make those decisions. Like in some instances, changing a two-way road to a one-way road to enable 2 footpaths simply to be put on both sides of that road, which on like there's 50 plus roads in Galway City that only have a footpath on one side. There's another 20 that don't have footpaths on either side of the road at all. You know, so it's just a matter of the likes of the council and the councillors making the tough decisions, pushing back against some of the resistance to put in these accessibility measures.
And they could also take some of the easy decisions, because this week there was a meeting where they discussed removing kissing gates, and what with huge efforts from 3 or 4 councillors who tend to be quite consistent on these issues, the council conceded that they would trial alternative barriers for 3 of our 70
kissing gates. What are the
gates.
Alternative barriers
I don't
that
know.
Keep the gougers out, but allow those with buggies in.
Actually, you know what? I don't accept that argument. You don't, just because there are shoplifters, you don't bar 50% of people from shops. You know what I mean? You can't say that because of antisocial behaviour that it is okay to lock people out, because that's what we're doing. There is a video, actually, at Erection, we took a video of a woman. What I wanted to do was to take a video of all our protesters going through the kissing gates with their various, you know, some people have buggies, some people have bikes and that kind of thing. We didn't manage it because our first person was a woman with a child on the back of her bike, and she couldn't get through the bloomin' gate. And beside the gate was a step that is about a foot, about the height of this stage here. It was about a foot up. Any scrambler, any motorbike, any able-bodied person could get into that park, but this woman with her child on her bike couldn't. These are easy decisions, and there is just a lack of will. And I don't understand.
The final question is about how you get there, because I don't think you can do it overnight, because people have jobs and they have existing arrangements, shall we say. There are people who've got to get their kids to school and so on and so forth. But is there information, for example, about how much of the Galway traffic is through traffic? In other words, people getting from the west to the east or the east to the west.
There is.
And will the eventual construction of the bypass solve all the problems?
There is data out there, and it formed part of the planning permission for the bypass. And what it showed was that only 3% of the traffic is actually going from east to west. External to external. The vast majority is coming from external to internal or internal travel within the city. 97% of the traffic could be addressed by simply putting in park and rides on the main arterial routes and then implementing active travel and accessibility measures throughout the city.
Yeah, some of the texts coming in, and very interesting, people who know the area quite well. Great to see you in Galway. Can it be pointed out that in a number of cycle lanes in Galway, they cross roads? For example, the Tuam Road, Headford Road, you're driving, if you have to turn left, you cross a cycle lane. It's very dangerous. Also, we have a great bus service in Galway, but we need more lanes. Example, the bus lanes to Parkmore stop at ATU, formerly GMIT. That's from Dave. Illegal parking and obstruction of footpaths for wheelchairs and walkers, etc. Try Loch Ray, where neither the local council wardens nor the Gardaí seem to do anything whatsoever. It is absolutely scandalous. I'm sure your guests are well-intentioned, but these are policies that have led to gridlock in Dublin. Residents of Galway, beware. That's from Cormac.
And won't somebody think of the cars?
Well, the point is that they put in cycle lanes, and they were supposed to be temporary for COVID, and then they remain, and they have long-lasting effect. Well, that's what I'm saying. The processes, however radical they may be, sometimes if they're done too quickly, without education preparation.
On Dublin, what's actually been shown from Dublin City Council canal cordon surveys that they do on a regular basis is, as they've implemented active travel and accessibility and public transport measures, the number of private cars going across the canals have dropped year on year consistently for, I think it's well over a decade now at this stage. So once you provide the viable alternative, people will use it.
Okay. Sometimes our listeners are familiar with very clever ideas. This one from Tom Byrne. He says, for safely opening a car door, the Dutch way is to open the door with the hand furthest away from the door. So therefore, you naturally turn your head and you have to see what's coming.
We did a Dutch Reach demonstration on Galway Prom, and we borrowed a convertible car 2 weeks ago for Sundays for Safety, actually, and it was really great.
Okay, yeah. So that's something we should all try.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
We have to open our doors on the driver's side. Galway City planning is one of the worst in the country and must take total responsibility for the hash they've made of the city. Galway is a small medieval town that has an enormous amount of traffic pouring in and out of its narrow little streets day and night. Galway authorities are not competent and not in control of their brief. Roundabouts seem to appear and disappear within short periods at enormous expense to the taxpayer. Galway cycle lanes are merely a lip service to alternative transport. That's from Trish. The final point is, I started with it and I have to make the point again. On a morning like this morning, people are going to take the car, are they not?
Absolutely, and that's fine. But the one thing, I think that the thing that I'm trying to do is, if you are in charge of a car, then it's your responsibility to drive slowly. I'm sure you drove with extra care because of the weather.
Of course.
Yes, not everyone does. And that is the thing. We just need to, I guess, maybe it's good to be seen and it's good to be visible and whatever else, but when we're focusing on school children watching out for traffic as opposed to educating drivers to drive very, very, very carefully as though a child might run out when you're driving past a school, for example, I think that's the shift that we need to make.
Yeah, but we need to do both. I wouldn't.
Oh, of course. But I think it's all one way at the moment. And I think we need to.
Look, thank you both for a very interesting contribution. Gráinne Fáler, a local who started the hashtag Sundays for Safety campaign. And you never know where they're going to pop up in coming days. Maybe not Sundays, could be Saturdays, could be midweek. You never know. And Dave Corley, a man who mapped the barriers in Galway City, of which there are many. Thank you both very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.